You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
The scoop session here with our friend Darren Doogie Wolfson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department. We'll get
yes,
to some twin stuff.
Yes, Darren. Twins news coming in hot and heavy here at 10 a.m. Yes, yep, we'll get to it.
We'll get to a couple roster moves, but let's start Vikings here because we are 9 days away from the NFL draft. And one of the most, always one of the most interesting mock drafts, the Peter Schrager mock 1.0 dropped today. And it's interesting because as he writes in the piece here for NFL.com, this isn't what Peter would do if he was drafting. It's what I'm hearing from my sources around the league. So, again, this is an information-driven mock draft from what one of the top NFL insiders is hearing, a guy who works for the NFL. He's got pipelines. So he has Bears taking Caleb Williams, Commanders taking Jaden Daniels, and then Patriots, despite all the smoke, taking Drake May. I feel like this is a scenario that's very possible. We should be bracing Vikings fans for. The top three teams don't have to trade if they don't want to. If they like these quarterbacks, if they love these quarterbacks, they could tell you, take your first round picks and shove them. We're drafting Drake May. Then they have, Peter Schrager has, the Giants trading up from 6 to 4 for J.J. McCarthy, which makes sense because the Cardinals might not want to move down to 11. They might want to just move back a couple of spots so they can draft one of the wide receivers. Then we go wide receiver. Schrager has the Vikings standing pat at 11, taking Alabama cornerback Terrion Arnold. And then he has the Vikings also picking at 23 and grabbing their quarterback there in Bo Nix. So they go top cornerback in the draft. Then they go one of the top six. It would be the fifth quarterback off the board here, according to this mock. I feel like Vikings fans would be very disappointed if it played out this way. But what are your thoughts, Dukes? I mean, this is a very plausible thing that could happen in 9 nights from now.
Certainly can't rule it out, Phil. I will say this much. On Peter Schrager, incredibly plugged in. There is a reason why we're citing this mock. I get it. I want to mock, right? You guys reference many mocks for me.
I want a mock.
This is one of the few I will pay very close attention to. I think that highly of Peter Schrager. I know that Peter has all sorts of contacts, all sorts of sources. I will say, though, if this scenario plays out and Byron Murphy, the defensive lineman from Texas, is on the board, I think they go him over the Alabama corner. Not necessarily dismissing the idea of a corner, the top corner, perhaps that Alabama corner, but I know they love that Texas defensive lineman. I really do. So if this scenario plays out, okay, you go Murphy at 11. So now we're looking at Nix versus Penix. Reading between the lines and Kevin O'Connell's comments yesterday, knowing how much he desires accuracy, plus, heck, you need to change so much with Penix, lefty quarterback versus righty quarterback. I do think if it came down to those two, that they would go Nix over Penix.
Oh,
I still think, though, Phil, I really believe they are going to find a way to move up. If it's at the expense of the 2025 first-round pick, so be it. They have targeted this draft class, these quarterbacks, for so long, I have a hard time believing that they wait until pick 23 to strike.
Should we be prepared as well for one of those big four to not be as big as we thought and drop? So, like, let's say it does go. Let's say the first three are Williams, Daniels, and let's say McCarthy. Because as we discussed on Purple Daily yesterday, the Drake May stuff has been all over the board of late. It's very like there's either a lot of really good deception going on, or we're getting some of how people really feel about him. So my other question is, should we be prepared for the Vikings not to have to go into the top five because a guy like Drake May could drop and you can get him, let's say, by going up a couple of picks instead of trying to get up to the Chargers, the Cardinals, or the Patriots?
I think it's going quarterback, 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 maybe even quarterback. I really do. I mean, I guess it's possible, Judd, but like, and hey, subject to change, but I've thought Daniels is going to Washington for a while, but it's hard to read those tea leaves, right? New front office. I get it. But I think Jaden is going to one way or another, whether it's New England or someone else, perhaps the Vikings. I think quarterback goes three, and I think Arizona moves off four. Now, maybe it's the Giants. Maybe it is pick six, right? That Arizona doesn't want to move back too far, wants to ensure that they get one of these top wide receivers, maybe even the number one wide receiver, that going to six ensures you that top wide receiver. I have a hard time believing it, Judd. I'm not saying 0% chance, but I have a hard time. Yeah. Like, I'm just not buying that. I'm not.
It's just, I think it's so interesting because there's a lot of people that I think are putting the decision to trade up into the top three on the Vikings when it's not the Vikings' decision. I mean, it's partially the Vikings' decision. Do you want to give up your future first round pick in 2025? But if the Patriots and Commanders feel like we might not be in this position with this type of a quarterback class, it's not worth trading down the board. And it's great to get some extra picks, but this is our chance for a 10-year generational quarterback. You know, it is, the Vikings are not in the driver's seat for this. But the good news is, and fans don't want to hear this either, Penix and Bo Nix in a lot of other draft class would be top three in their class. Like if you were to take a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix and put him in the Zach Wilson draft, for instance, or I don't know, like the Christian Ponder draft from 10 years ago, those guys are higher than the fifth and sixth quarterbacks on the board. Are they worth taking at 11 or next year's class? 100%. I'm on the record saying, like, if you get boxed out and you wind up taking a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix and Kevin O'Connell loves those guys and you get a defensive player with your other first round pick and you keep your 2025 first round pick, I don't think that's a doomsday scenario at all whatsoever. But a lot of people are painting it that way.
I don't think it's doomsday either. I mean, how many times do I need to harp on that this is as good a situation as any across the league for a rookie quarterback? There's something to be said with the infrastructure in place, with KOC, with Josh McCown, with the weapons they have. I've never once bought this Justin Jefferson trade talk. Like, no, the Vikings still going back many months. The number one goal is to sign Justin to a lucrative contract extension. So I see Justin here for the foreseeable future, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson eventually back, maybe not week one, like he laid out yesterday, not putting out a timetable, but he'll be back at some point this calendar year, that this is a very good situation for a rookie quarterback. I will also say, Phil, like, are we sure that even if the Vikings put the 25 first round pick on the table, are we positive that's enough to move up to three?
No.
Like, to me, it's more than that. Like, you need to add more. I don't know what that more is. Is that a third? Is that a fourth? But to me, 11-23 plus next year's one, I'm not convinced. In fact, I'm leaning the other way. You know, I'm not saying 100%, but I'm just saying I don't think that gets you to three. Probably gets you to four, I think, but not to three.
And this all actually comes back to what Kwesi talked about at his 2 week out pre-draft press conference last week, which was walkaway, which was walkaway price. What's your walkaway price? What's that going? And you know, does Denver, who I think is probably desperate at this point, the Raiders, who swoops in? And the one thing that I think Schrager nailed is this: the Giants are in the driver's seat. If they're going to move off Jones, they are in. The Giants did exactly what the plan, what the ideal plan is, which is, okay, if you're not going to be just horse bleep, be bad enough to get to a place where it's pretty easy to flop picks. But I am so interested to know, like,
gosh darn that Raiders game.
Is there, well, yeah, there's a lot to talk about, but is there a walkaway price that has been definitely set that all sides have agreed to? Is O'Connell's like, well, I don't know about that walkaway price. And, you know, there's just, it's so intriguing because when it comes to tells, we don't know a lot about these guys yet. And I think Kwesi's press conference actually was fairly informative for those type of press conferences. And I think that phrase in and of itself really led me to believe, okay, we don't know. Is it more than we expect? Is it a lot less? And, you know, if you're going to give up your 2025 first, it's going to impact a lot of things, including the potential draft party for us Score Northers. So, you know, let's think long and hard about that first round pick.
The other uncertainty is Elliot Wolf running the New England Patriots, Adam Peters running the Washington Commanders. Those two guys newly in place, so there is zero track record. Any hints? Now, if you want to look at Adam's history in San Francisco or Elliot's history there with Belichick, fine. Maybe there's some tendencies you can pick up on, but we really truly don't know. There's also still, you know, some intrigue heading into Thursday, right? With the Vikings traveling down to Louisiana, private workout with Jaden Daniels, spending some more time with Jaden. Like, is it possible Thursday goes so well that the Vikings are not only willing to put 25 first-round pick on the table, 11, 23, 25, but, like, a lot more to get up to perhaps two? Like, that they love Jaden Daniels that much? I mean, can you rule that out? I mean, if we're not ruling out, hey, they just stay at 11 and 23, like, are we in the position to rule out that Thursday goes so well that Jaden is their guy that they're willing to give up a ton to get up to two?
Yeah. This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. Man, this is...
I don't think so. I still think it's going to be one of two. I really do. I think it's J.J. McCarthy or Drake May, but I'll continue to say what I've said for weeks. I really feel like they would be comfortable with any of the three, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May.
Do you think there's any steam, any actual steam to the Mike Florio article that he put out a few days ago, that there is a precedent now for the NFL coming in with these tampering situations with the Cardinals and the Eagles and Jonathan Gannon last year? The NFL came in right before the draft started and said, or maybe they settled with the NFL sort of guiding over it, but it was a third round pick swap. Florio is speculating, A, that Atlanta absolutely tampered with Kirk Cousins, and B, that the solution could be Atlanta and Minnesota flip-flop the 8 and the 11 right before the draft. Do you think there's any possibility of this happening?
That seems a bit aggressive, like a third round or whatever later in the draft type swap with that precedence set last year. That to me makes a bit more sense. I will tell you, the Vikings feel like, not that I'm breaking news here, like it's pretty obvious just going back and listening to the Kirk Cousins introductory news conference, but that tampering took place. Like the Vikings are like, okay, yes, like NFL, let's go here. Like the evidence is clear as day. Clearly Atlanta tampered here. We need to be compensated in some form, some fashion, or whatever you're doing. If you're just stripping a pick away from Atlanta, but we are curious to see what your ruling is because we know how compelling the case is. I will tell you that much, Phil, that the Vikings feel like, yes, without a doubt, like Atlanta tampered. So the now what will you do, NFL?
They were literally putting videos up of them packing their house a week before free agency. And Cousins is like, yeah, had some great conversations with the trainer. What? Yeah, it's
pretty obvious. So, I mean, the Vikings just, they feel like, hey, like it's on you now, NFL, whatever your ruling is. But like the evidence is there. Like, so, okay, Atlanta tampered. Will we benefit because of that Atlanta situation? But like the Vikings feel like without a shadow of a doubt, like Atlanta absolutely tampered.
Yeah. And I part of the problem too is if there's not a settlement between the two sides, the precedent is it can take up to a year to rule. So like this could actually impact the 2025 draft. Because the one thing that was the one interesting thing was the Cardinals admitted guilt and actually reported themselves. And then they basically said, okay, we'll swap picks. But ordinarily, and Arthur Blank, who owns the Falcons, was pretty adamant, not surprisingly, back in March that they didn't tamper. So that makes it way more
murky.
Take a while. And so, yes, the National Football League often does not move quickly. So. Yeah.
So, okay, Dukes, I know we only have a few minutes left here because you have a full day with your A job at Channel 5 here. So the Twins have had a busy morning. Declan reported on the Royce Unchained episode that Matt Wallner is indeed being sent down. Larnick is coming up here. The Tony Kemp on a minor league contract. What can you tell us about these moves?
Yes. Good job, Declan. Little tag team action there, but yes, confirmed. Oh. Matt Wallner.
Oh, you guys
joining
tag team
the Saints.
Tag
well,
team.
No. Well,
we both
well,
reached out to our, steam. I had the steam. Well, okay, let's rewind here. Let's rewind here.
It's okay. We don't need that.
Judd Zolgad came on this morning and said he saw it on the strip. And I said, what are you talking about? I didn't see anything on that. So he said, and I accused Judd of dreaming this because you never know what Judd, you know, maybe yeah. he dreamt this in a dream. And it is
and
something
could,
you could dream.
I could
so I just easily. I just happened to check in with one source. I checked in with one source who confirmed, yeah, Wallner is going down. Then I checked in with you. You said, yep, same thing. So I was like, okay, my journalistic ability here, I'm going to report that this happened.
Nice.
I have enough
yeah.
sources.
Nice job.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, 100%. Bro. Matt Wallner joining the Saints. Where are they, Declan? You said Indianapolis?
Indiana, I believe, Gary.
Yeah. So, I mean, 100%. I can tell you that. Matt Wallner is no longer a Twin, at least for right now. He is a St. Paul Saint. The corresponding move, I mean, it makes complete sense. Trevor Larnick is ready to go. So, if you're sending Wallner down, you bring somebody up, it's Trevor Larnick. Now, yeah, you mentioned Tony Kemp, a longtime MLB-er, although I'm not quite sure he's been productive. Like since what, 2021, play
really,
some left
yeah.
field, play some second base, said to be A+ in the clubhouse, like great dude. I am told he chose the Twins, a minor league deal. He chose the Twins over comparable offers. So he had multiple offers on the table, chose the Twins because he sees a clear pathway to joining the Twins very, very soon. He has multiple opt-outs in this contract. So I guess nothing guaranteed, but from his standpoint, his camp believes that Tony Kemp, I would think before the month is over, Tony Kemp is a Minnesota Twin.
Yeah.
Okay. How long does the Varland in the rotation, not experiment, but situation last, Dukes?
Yeah, I mean, the long balls are just eating him alive. Yeah, hard contact. Yeah.
Yeah, and the good news is the bullpen stint was fantastic. So
yeah, he looked great last year.
He's not like he is a washout.
No, he wants to start, though, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, and you know what? I'd like to make $1 million a year,
correct.
But it's too bad. It's a business. How long do we expect this, though? Because there does seem to be a viable option for him in the big leagues that's not as a starter.
Well, and there's also a viable option to replace him based on the small body of work in Detroit over the weekend with Simeon Woods-Richardson.
True.
To me, not only the numbers, if you just look at the box score with Woods Richardson, but the velo, like the velo wasn't there in the spring in Fort Myers. You look at what Simeon Woods Richardson did at Comerica Park over the weekend. The velo is there. So to me, that's a logical swap, right? Whatever that entails. Maybe it's Louis working on some stuff in St. Paul, but that Simeon Woods Richardson is ready to go. So I would definitely keep an eye on that situation. Maybe I'll have an update by Thursday, whether Varland makes his next start in the rotation. I guess what would that be? Late this week, Saturday or Sunday at Target Field. Hopefully I'll have an update maybe on Thursday. I don't have a specific update right this second, but certainly my tentacles are up on that. That it makes too much sense now that it's been three duds for Varland that you do something, whether it's bullpen or have him go to St. Paul to work on some stuff.
Yeah. There he is. He's got to get out of here. Darren Doogie Wolfson.
Ann Myers Drysdale, the Hall of Famer, Phoenix Suns broadcaster. Need to Zoom with her in a few minutes. Texted with Bob Myers, the former Warriors architect, former agent, hoping to Zoom with him later in this week. So trying to get all sorts of different perspective on Wolves and Suns. Buckle up for Saturday.
Let's go. What tricks does Finchie have in the bag? We'll find out.
Couple more notes. I spent some time yesterday at Robbinsdale Cooper High School in New Hope. Why it's called Robbinsdale Cooper, I have no idea when it's located in New Hope, but that's a different conversation. Emmanuel Carmo, 2025. In his words, Swiss Army knife defender. Like, good enough athlete, linebacker, pass rusher, but hey, he played safety a couple years ago, so that's a good get for the Gopher football program, getting the number one recruit in the state for the class of 25. Also from Robbinsdale Cooper High School is Jackson Howard, the number one recruit in the state from a couple years ago. The college football portal opened today. You will see a number of names entering the portal, including some Gophers, nothing big name-wise, but some depth guys, some second team type guys. So every team across the country is going to lose guys starting today, including the Gophers. But LSU lost Jackson Howard. I can tell you the Gopher football program working very hard to secure the services of Jackson Howard. Taylor Woodson, good player from Hopkins High School, just finished her freshman year playing basketball for the Michigan Wolverines. Dawn Plitzelwhite working hard to secure Taylor's services in the portal. She had a nice conversation with Taylor the other day. There's a visit or a visit that took place. I know Nebraska also pushing hard for Taylor, but told she enjoys being close to her family. So I think there's a decent chance the Gophers can land a very good transfer from the University of Michigan, Taylor Woodson. But we'll continue to monitor that. See you, boys.
There he is. Inside information. Some reckless speculation about your Minnesota sports teams.
Thanks, Dukes.
All right, boys. See ya. Bye,
thank you, Dukes. We'll do it again on Thursday. A little reckless speculation Thursday. And, the draft party at the Fillmore, which is sold out. It's going to be a blast. But if you want to go to just Fulton, too, we want to shout out our friends at Fulton, because there's going to be a pre-draft party at Fulton just a few steps down the street from 3 until 7 o'clock next Thursday. Tommy Kramer is going to be there from 5 to 7 o'clock. So give some love to our friends at Fulton in the hours leading up to the draft party at the Fillmore. We'll see you guys for a little Write That Down session tomorrow here on Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd.